Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Dominique Hudson, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio with Purpose Kingdom Network. This is our 1,291st episode. If you are joining us online and would like to call in, please dial 319-527-6091. Once again, 319-527-6091. And if you are listening via phone and you would like to speak with me anytime during the show for any questions, if you have any comments or any suggestions, just press 1. I am here. And if you are a little too shy, you can always text myself, Pastor Toy, Brother Rob, whoever you feel comfortable with to just submit your comment or question. So I'm very excited tonight, and I think I say that every night I'm on here, but it's just such a blessing to just give the word of God and just for God to be able to just see me, to use me to give the word. So I'm very grateful, and we have a special guest tonight. I think it's very important for us not to be stingy with the platform, for us to see other people who are hungry for the word, who is given and being a part of the body of Christ with us. We're all members in one body, and that we should collaborate and we should give others the platform and just give them a voice to speak. So I believe in sharing my platform, whatever platform I'm on, with others. With that being said, tonight, JoJo Faith will be joining us. JoJo, she used to join when I started 3 years ago with Purpose Kingdom Network. She'll get on, comment, and she's just growing up to be such a very lovely young lady. She just turned 18 this year. She just started college, so she has a lot of great things going on. So just keep her in your prayers as she's growing and developing into being a young woman. So I will just give her this opportunity to give the word of God. And Joe, come on, come on.
Hallelujah.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're doing good. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Heaven speaks of your glory, and the earth of your beauty. Your love is new every morning, and your faithfulness is ever sure. Say, heaven speaks of your glory, and the earth of your beauty. Your love is new every morning, and your faithfulness is ever sure. For you are the great and mighty God. You rule in every nation. Oh, Christ, the solid rock. Your name I will exalt. For you are Alpha and Omega. I worship you today. You're beautiful for all situations. You are the joy of the whole world. The heaven speaks of your glory, and the earth of your beauty. Your love is new every morning, and your faithfulness is ever sure. Say, I will speak of your glory, and I will show forth your beauty. Your love is new every morning, and your faithfulness is ever shown. For you are the great and mighty God. You rule in every nation. Oh, Christ, the solid rock. Your name I will exalt. for your offering. I worship you today. You're beautiful for all situations. You are the joy of the whole world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. I cover this line with the blood of Jesus. I come against every distraction. I pray for everybody who is listening right now that you give them a word tonight, that you speak through me, that you speak, nothing else, just you. I cover everybody here with the blood of Jesus, and I thank you that people can take from what I say tonight. I love you, Lord, and I just thank you for having me here. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight I titled my message, The Battleground is in the Mind. I've been reading Genesis chapter 3, and in Genesis chapter 3, it talks about the fall, not with Lucifer, but Adam and Eve. In this story, we have Adam and Eve disobeying God. I would say not by choice, but they had a choice because God told them and they decided to do their own thing, which a lot of us can relate. When God tells us to do something, we go ahead and we do our own thing. And so if you have your Bible, can you please turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll stop to verse 14. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So this tells me that Adam was there. He was. It's not like he went somewhere else or he traveled to this place. He was right there when it was being taken place. So he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. These leaves together and made covering for themselves. Verse 8. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, God speaking, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" This is a rhetorical question because God already knew the answer. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." So now they're playing the blaming game. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl in your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life." I'm going to stop right there because the title is The Battleground is in the Mind. So that leads me to my first point, the devices of the enemy. What are the devices of the enemy? The devices could be anything that you put before God. Keep in mind, the devil knows exactly what to do to make you forsake your bow. And every time you bow down to those things, you're accepting his devices. The main devices he uses is your mind. The devil knows that if you can lose in your life, you can also lose in your mind. So it works both ways. If I can get you in your head, I can get you in your real life, because the battleground is really in your head. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. They're fighting it in their head. I don't think that Eve knew that the battleground was in her mind, because if she knew, I don't think that whole scene would even play out at all. But a lot of times, even in this generation, not just Adam and Eve, but this generation as well, we go through things every single day, and we struggle, we make mistakes, we fall down, And what we don't understand that there's a real battle in our head that's going on. And if we can just open this word and we can just pray to God and tell God what's going on, he can set you free. Whatever bondage, whatever cage they got you in, God can set you free. Because the battle is in the mind. And so I started to understand that what the devil does with your mind is he does the same thing, for one. He just has different strategies. His devices never change. It's just a different strategy that he used. So I think of it like Uno, the game of Uno. It never changes. The only thing that changes is the way people play, right? And if you keep playing with these same people, they will learn your strategy. That's how the devil is. You don't have to talk to him to accept the devices that he's offering. We live in a generation now where his devices don't even look like devices because he has your mind. Judas, for example. Judas, I wouldn't say he was awful of a person. When you know better, you do better. And so Judas was somebody that was open, right? And there are 12 disciples. There were 12 disciples. Out of all the disciples, the enemy could have used anybody. Regardless, Jesus was going to die anyway because it had to be done. This is what he came here to do. But out of all the disciples, the enemy targeted Judas. The devil played a main part. He played a main role in that whole scene, everything. And he got Judas' mind. He made Judas go after things that are meaningless. The Bible says these things are meaningless. It don't matter. But to Judas at the time, it did. He needed some money, right? And so he messed up with his head. He made him betray God. He made him go against everything that he had no business going against. And he did what he had to do. And when he got his mind back, that's when he realized, yo, I messed up. But it was too late because the damage was already done. And so a lot of times the enemy will use you, the body, or just using your mind and making you do all types of things. And then when the damage is done, he leaves. And you come back to yourself and you realize that you've done something that you had no business doing. And so if we can only not just fight this battle in our head, but realize that, one, we have the power. God has given us power. So it doesn't even have to be like this. So the way you think, as a man think it, so is he. The way you think, you can change that. You should change that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So you don't have to be. You don't have to be ignorant of his devices, but the battle is in the mind. I was sitting down today, and I was having a conversation with the Lord, and I asked him a question. Why do people cut themselves when they're angry? Now, I know a lot of people suffer from depression. A lot of people have mental illness. A lot of people have a lot of things going on with them, right? And I understand that. But I never found it normal for somebody to just sit there and just cut themselves, or somebody to just wake up and say, oh, I want to die. Those words don't even come from God. God don't even talk like that, for one. And so how do you think? And then the worst part is, like, you're letting it out of your mouth on top of it, knowing that the words that you speak are life and death. So what you say, if you're not careful, it will happen. It can really happen. And so I'm asking God, why do people say these things? What's going on in these people's heads? And why do we normalize these things? Because it's not normal for somebody to want to say, I want to die, or somebody to wake up one morning and go shoot up a church or shoot up a school. Those things are not normal. But because it's in their mind, it becomes reality. And so if you can just kill it in your head, you can also kill it in your life, the way you think. Be careful what you allow to come out of your mouth, because those little things are the devices of the enemy. And the devil is using anything, especially in my generation. It don't look like a device. It don't look like a device at all, but it is. And the closer you get to God, and the more you stay open and pay attention, you will be aware and alert when the enemy comes to play around you. It won't get too far. So that's my word for today.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Joe. This is really the battle battlefield is in the mind. The battleground is in the mind, and that's so true. Like, I can definitely, like, this is so good because a lot of us, we may have these things. We, you know how some people just say how Eve did, you know, it seemed like she just fell into the sin of the serpent. When the serpent came to her, it just seemed like she just fell there. But what made the serpent go whisper to her? What made the serpent whisper to her? As we, I think we talked about this a little before the line, before we got on the line. What made the serpent go to her and not go to Adam? You know what I mean? So it's that open space. You know what I mean? Is that open space that she left open? So she left. If they were in the garden walking with God. Talking with God, God knew where they were at all times. You know, they had direct access to God. So it's a spiritual disconnect that tells me, because God said everything here is good. Everything is good. You can eat of everything, but not of this tree. So it became a spiritual disconnect where, and even probably a lack of trust in God, and she began to look at that tree of knowledge and desire that tree, and now those glittering things that happen to us in the world, the things in the world, it glitters, it shines, it gleams, but everything that glitters is not gold. Everything that is sweet is not good for you, and the devil caught her slipping. The serpent saw her gazing and fantasizing, so it became in her mind. She disconnected from God and into the things that she was doing, just walking in the garden, you know, picking, eating, just doing what she had to do, just, you know. So she slipped away, and then the devil was just watching from a distance. And the devil, it says the devil, in my version, the devil is cunning. So he's deceitful, and he's not going to give you the word how God gives it. He's going to twist it around. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do you have something to add to that? Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay.
So, I think about, the music industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
The music industry today, we all know that, you know, once upon a time, Satan was called Lucifer, and he had a voice on him too, right? And so when I talk about the mind, I understand that when you get in that industry, that particular industry, right, they have your head messed up, and then they got you out here doing crazy stuff. But to you, you think, you know, you fly, you this, but from the outside, everybody looking at you like, yo, what's wrong with him? You know? Everything now that looks good, I see why God said to Eve and Adam, like, don't touch it. Even though that tree, I'm pretty sure that tree was completely beautiful, right? God said, don't touch it. So when I look at the tree today, right, it looks good.
Right.
It looks completely good. But when you go in there and you keep going in there, you start to realize why you shouldn't be in there to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just have to understand that things that, it's not everything that looks good for one that is good.
Amen.
It's not. Because not even just my generation, but there's some people, they are moved by shiny things. That if it's shiny, it's good to so they gonna go without even looking or even searching for the real source behind it. They don't want to know. But because it's just shiny, they gonna go. And this is how the enemy is grabbing young people. Everybody want to be rich. Everybody want to be lit. Everybody want to make a name for themselves. That's cool. But when you dig a little deeper, that thing that looks so good ain't really good after all. And then you start selling yourself in ways that you don't know how.
Amen. Amen. If you are just joining us, I'm your host, Dominique Hudson, and we have JoJo Faith joining us tonight. And our topic for tonight is the battleground is in the mind. And we're just reading from Genesis 3, chapter 3, through 1 through 4, verses 1 through 14. And if you are listening online and would like to call in, dial 319-527-6091. Once again, 319-527-6091. 6091. And if you are listening via phone and you have a question, a comment, or just want to just add anything to the conversations tonight, just press 1. I am here. Joe is here. and right, so when we speak about the battleground of being in the mind, I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. If you have a Bible, you have the digitally Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4. And it says, and this is a common scripture, and it says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Amen. So when I think about that scripture, about just it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning that they're not these physical things. There are things that are within the mind. They're taking place in the mind. And before anybody commits sin, in the imaginations and their thoughts, all that is happening in our thoughts. And all that is happening in our thoughts. I'm sorry, I just lost you. All that is happening in our thoughts before they come to. You mentioned that scripture, so a man thinketh, so is he. That's Proverbs. I forget the exact chapter, but that's in Proverbs. And before you do, you're thinking about it. It's on your mind constantly. As I said, Eve was in that in the garden. She was just letting those thoughts manifest within her head. And you just have to be, when you disconnect with God, you have to hurry up and get back. If not, you're going to be pulled away. Don't get so pulled away that you wake up in your sin, that you may not even wake up because death has taken, like, you know, you go into like a physical death. Do you want to add anything to that, Joe?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, reading the whole story with Adam and Eve, a lot of us who grew up in a church and, you know, watch the stories and the movies, it's everything, you know, we picture it very differently. And so when people say, oh, Eve is dumb, and oh, Eve is stupid, it makes me think like, but is she? Because we're doing the same thing right now. You know, we're all doing the same thing right now. I feel like people talk about Eve, right? And they say she's dumb and she's this, she's that. I feel like they're picturing her a little bit different than what it really was, like how it really happened. They picture everything completely different. Like, I guess they think it's fairy tale, but this is real life because it really did happen. And we human beings, we do the same thing. If it's not this year, this month, next month, we do the same thing regardless. You know? So we can't be calling her stupid because we all fall short, one. We all accept his devices, two. And we all let him play on our mind.
Yeah. We're no different. We're no different from.
You know, we have to forgive her as well.
We're no different from her. We're all around. Even when I think about other things that happened in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, these things are still happening today in just different forms. You know, just even like when you think about the story of in Delilah and how women that's crafty or in the street, they set up men and things like that. That's all, it's nothing new under the sun. That's already been done. Everything, the devil is just, all right, so he had this craft, is a new generation. They didn't know about what happened in biblical times. They didn't know about my trick in the 1920s. So let me use it on this generation so they can get caught up. Now we have technology to add to it. Let me seep into the minds of the children by subliminal messages in the songs and what they watch, what they listen to. Let's put it even in, let's even go to politics. And And we know politics rules everything. So I know it is some Christians who believe that we shouldn't vote or believe that we shouldn't do stay far away from the government. And I'm not saying who's right. I'm not saying who's wrong. But I just want you to hear me out and just suggest something, because politics in this in this land, they rule everything. It has to do with everything about us attending churches, how many churches can be in a certain area, how many schools. So they you understand what I'm saying? So we have to be involved in these things. Look in the Bible, and I don't want to get too far off from this topic, but this is just on my heart. And if you look in the Bible and you look about the prophets, they are speaking to political figures. They are speaking to kings. And as they're speaking to them, they're directing them, and they're standing firm in who they believe, which is God, and that they're not going to forsake their vow, not going to forsake their covenant that they have with God to please men or to please these laws. So we have to stand up when they're telling us one thing to do, one thing that is contrary. We will follow the law. We will follow the law. But if it's anything that caused us to go against what God has said, we need to stand up and stand strong and all come together as one in the body of Christ. So that goes with us being a part of these political figures. If you cannot be a part, you need to be praying for these political figures, because whether you believe it or not, they have power, okay? They have power and they have say, but God is bigger than all of that. And when we come together as an army, amazing things can happen. Spiritual things can happen. The impossible can happen, amen? So that was just my little synopsis. I just wanted to get that out about the leaders, and you see, like, just pray for people to be God-fearing people, to be in the ears of the president, to be in the ears of the governor, amen, because it's deceitful, cunning people speaking to the governors to steal money, to take away education from the poor. You understand? The devil's going to use the device of virtual learning. Okay, they're already in poverty. Who cares about them? Let's strip them from their education and set them back a whole nother generation, a whole nother 3,000 years. You understand what I'm saying? So the devil is going to use this opportunity any way to seek to get around. So we have to be mindful, us people who are in leadership positions, working in these schools, working with the aging, working wherever we are working. And we're servicing people. Almost every job serves people. So whatever job we're in, no matter how small you think you are, you have a voice and stand up, because the devil is very cunning. And I say that because he used opportunities. And I was sharing, Joe and I, we talk a lot or whatever about God, and we can be on the phone for a lot, just digging deep into the Bible and just getting, you know, comparing notes. And I know I told her that from my cousin, I always talk about my cousin who passed, because that was a part, that was a traumatic piece of my life, and how through the grace of God I've overcome. So I say now when I lose somebody close to me, I try my best not to go deep. I won't suppress the issue, but I continue my normal routine. If that's praying, that's dancing, that's singing, that's just going to work, I'm continuing that routine. I'm just compartmentalizing. When I go to work, I'm at work, and when I come home, I'm dealing with those emotions. But I will not shut down, because I will not be in isolation and shut other people out either, because the devil is going to use that opportunity. I'm like, all right, you've been watching me. You know me. Devil, you've been watching me. And I think a lot of us, We think that the devil is dumb. We think that he's ugly. You know, we mentioned that tree was beautiful of knowledge. Mm-hmm. But once Eve started to go deep and deep, and she like, oh, snaps, like, I have to have children because of this. I have to bear children, and that's painful. My husband has to labor all day, work hard day and night, hands hurting, feet hurting. And she was like, wow, this is crazy. I wasn't there, but she's human. She probably said some stuff like that. So the devil, he's watching and he's seeing, and he knows the things that goes that takes me back into that anxiety and depression. And these are, like, anxiety, depression, they're real. I know, like, a lot of us Christians, you can pray everything away. You can pray things away, but you may need someone. I work in the social service field where with mental and behavioral health, and it's good. You may need God put those people in your place, like doctors, nurses, that you may need that extra support, and you just go to people who are Christ founded, have that foundation of Christ. Because the battle, that mind, I'm telling you, that mind is no joke, and the devil is watching, and he is very strategic about what he does, how he do it. He is cunning, he is deceitful. He is coming after you, so you have to be in your word. Is that right, Joe?
No,
you have to
little.
Be in the word. No, like,
from
your experience of, like, have you ever experienced that where you, like, you wasn't on your eight? Because none of us are holier than thou. It's sometimes I slip up and I'm like, oh, snaps. I get angry. I get upset. I'm like, I wasn't in my word, you know. I'm not blessing those who curse me. I'm cursing right back at those who curse me, you know.
Yeah. That's real, man.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced something like where you weren't on your A game, like you weren't reading, praying, or just doing the things in Christ, and the devil somehow seeped in some way?
Yeah, all the time. And I tell you this all the time, you know, like all the time. Let me give you a recent one. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, I started to really fall in love with Jesus. I told you after I gave my heart to God, and that was something really big for me because all my life I thought I was serving God the right way, and I was. Like, I was doing everything I was supposed to do, giving freely, just trying to be the good Christian or child of God. And one day I was lying down, and the voice was like, you ready? You know, are you ready to give it to me? Like, give me your heart. It's time. And I don't know if this was because something is about to happen in my life that I need to do it as soon as possible to be under this covering or whatever it is. But she was like, we need to get this done as soon as possible. Like, it was urgent type of thing. And it wasn't forced or whatever. I just needed to get it done. And I was like, God, like, I'm not sure if I'm ready. Because on my heart, there were so many other people there. This is probably for another day. But there were so many people sitting on my heart, and I started to realize that the throne of my heart only belongs to God. And God cannot move the way I want him to move. All these people sitting on his throne. Everybody got to go. And this doesn't mean I can't love anybody else, but it means that I have to put God first. Not just put him first, but love God with everything in me.
Amen.
I cannot make the primary. I cannot make him the secondary and make others the primary, because when I get in sticky situations, they can't help me, only him. And so that morning I woke up and I felt really heavy on my heart, like really, really heavy, as if I was in trouble or something. And I started crying. And I'm like, all right, God, we're finna get this done. Like, we're finna do this. And so I started praying and I started rebuking everybody that had no business being on this throne. And as soon as I did it, it took me a while, because I told you this. It took me a while to adjust the fact that God has my heart now. I have to put God first now. I have to wake up, give God my worship now. And the enemy started to creep in my mind. There we go. The enemy started to creep in my mind, and I knew this voice came from nobody but Satan himself, because he did it in heaven, and he does it now. And so the voice said to me, who does he think he is? I thought, who? Talking about God, like, who does God think he is? And I'm responding to this voice right back. He's king. Like, he created me. I didn't create him. So him asking for worship is not a bad thing, you know? And so I knew where that voice was coming from. I knew exactly where it was coming from, and I started to rebuke it. But every time I would wake up in the morning for the past 2 weeks, the voice would keep saying, who does he think he is? You don't have to worship anybody. Who does he think he is? But I kept rebuking it. And so eventually it stopped talking to me. And I started this new thing where every time I get lonely or the devil starts speaking, the Holy Spirit takes me to my balcony. And I sit on my balcony every morning and every night. And the way my balcony is set face. Nobody can see me talking to God. Like, nobody. You cannot see it at all. To God every single morning. And I'm falling in love with this king as if I know him face to face. As if I'm going to see him when I go visit somebody or something. Like, I'm communicating with God as if I know him. Like, I know you, Dominique. You see, does that make sense? Like, it was very complete. It felt strange to me that every morning when I wake up, I wanted to give God a hug, or I just wanted to spend time with him, where I would cut my friends off, like, not cut them off, but I would tell them, hey, girl, I can hang out today. Wow, I said, you with God. And they were very respectful. And they were like, all right, cool then. And so I would spend so much of my time in my room. And God was like, you don't have to isolate yourself like this. Like, I'm just saying, be consistent with what you do. You know, don't love me. Be your mind for a season, and then you leave, and then you get into a pickle. You want me again. I'm not a microwave. So the art that. Then when you asked me to do the show, it was even better because I felt this. I felt a good drive in me. It felt like I was on fire. Because I started to get weak. And then the moment you asked me, I felt like this fire just came upon me, and I started to study more my word of God. And I was in it, and I was in it. And God just keeps saying, like, it's your mind, honey. It got nothing to do with what's going on in your real life. It happens in your real life when you take all these things. But it starts in your mind. Up in the morning, you got to tell the enemy, I'm not getting on Instagram first. It could wait.
Amen. Amen. You made a lot of great points. And like, that's how it is. Like, when you fall in love, it sounds like a falling in love with Jesus. So that's amazing when you can fall in love with Jesus. When you wake up with him on your mind and you just want to hug him. And I pray that everyone will come to their understanding, come to that peace of joy, come to that knowing of Christ, where they just want to be with him all day, where they put him at the throne of their heart. And he's getting back to the battlefield of the mind, and he's touching something really, really great about you heard the voice of the devil, and you knew that it wasn't of the devil. I mean, you knew that it wasn't of God. And it just takes me back to John chapter 10 when he says that my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's John chapter 10, verse 27, and that's God just speaking, like, he is the shepherd. He is the shepherd, and we are his sheep, and we follow him, and we know his voice. So when you're doing the things of God, when you're walking with him, you're talking with him, you're asking him for decisions on decisions and other things in your life, you know who he is. Like you said, you know who he is. You stood outside on your balcony just talking to him like you've seen his physical face. You felt his presence. So when you hear the voice of God and he's telling you to do these good things because he's a good father, and he wants great things for us, and he don't want evil from us. So when you hear something contrary, you start to use your scriptures as Jesus did when he was tempted in the devil. I mean, in the desert by the devil. The devil was giving him the scriptures, but not all of it. People are going to give you scriptures. They're going to know it. The devil know that scripture, know the word. He was walking. It's going to be people walking among you who know the scripture, who know right, but they choose to do wrong, and they're going to try to pull you with them. But you have to be on your A game. You have to be walking and talking with them. And this is just like even when I was younger, and I didn't really know. I only knew the word. I didn't pick up the Bible. I wasn't reading the Bible. And people would say things that were of the world, and I would be conflicted. I knew right, but I didn't have the scriptures to back it up. I wasn't reading on that word, so I didn't have the scriptures to back it up. So listen, I'm leaning towards them, so I'm going to go with them. Although it's a battle, I know right from wrong, I'm like, I'm going to lean with them because they seem to know it all, you know? So that mind is definitely, like, we got to take care of that mind. We have to protect that mind by, that's the peace, like, we have to protect that peace of mind by all means, and that's just staying in the word. As I said, the devil is cunning. He's only here to kill, steal, to destroy. That's in John as well. The devil's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He want to kill your joy. He want to steal the gift that God has given you. He want to take your birthright, your inheritance away. He wouldn't be attacking you if you did not have a purpose for your life. His purpose was already gone. He fell. So guess what? He said, I'm going to make the great creation that God has created, I'm going to make them fall. I fell already. I'm going to drag people with me. He want to destroy your life until there's nothing. He want to strip you. So he's waiting for you to be empty. He's waiting for an empty house. Your body is the temple. He's waiting for your empty house. He's waiting for their mind to be open, to be exposed to the different devices in this world. And we talked about this, Joe, how this new age, they talk about the universe and praying to the stars, and I don't get that and I don't understand that, because God has created the universe. He has created the stars. The moon is a faithful witness. And I don't understand that when they're praying to the universe and asking the universe for guidance, when God has created, when this whole earth is over, God will remain. When the heavens and the earth, no more, God will remain. Amen?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, I hear you.
You know, you and I talked about Marcus. You know, the preacher, Marcus, right? I fell in love with everything he was talking about because it was real. It was real. And a lot of people who don't want to talk about these things know the truth. They just choose to be silent. They really blow me, because why are we hiding when a lot of us do need to be saved? And like you said, Jesus is coming very soon. But what can you do when this generation, you can't force somebody who don't want to see to open their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like that, right? You can't force somebody who don't want to see to open their eyes, because nobody has to be blind. If you really want to know truth, you'll go searching for it, and you'll find it. You will find it, but you have to want it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And God is coming soon, and if people don't buckle up and start taking this thing serious, they're going to be left behind. Like, it's not a game. It looks like a game, and it feels like a game, or it sounds like a joke, but it's not a game. It's not a game at all. We are on borrowed time, not our own. It's borrowed. And soon people will just be taken by surprise. And so we have to pray for those who don't know God. Pray for those who know him but choose not to follow. Let's just put it like that. Who know him but choose not to follow. Ask God to give them an encounter, because it really only takes one, just one. And in the moment they have that, they'll be good. But the devices of the enemy, like I said, the only reason why it's working is because people don't know who God is.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's so true. They don't know who God is. And before we go, Father, I just want to, this is my favorite part of the show, and it's just the call of salvation, because we have many people just listening, and we don't know where they are in their walk with Christ, if they're, you know, if they're contemplating, if they want to begin to serve God. This is my favorite part. And the call of salvation, like if there's anybody out there who's just been struggling, the devil has just been playing on your mind, you can't decide, you're very confused of who to serve. It's so many gods out there, and you don't know which God to serve. You have been misled throughout your whole life, and the devil has been using that, just seeing how you're easily manipulated in a way, and just learning your patterns. But I'm telling you here right now, by experience, by testimony, that Jesus, he is the truth. He is the way, he is the light. Amen. Without him, there is no way to God, who is the living God, who sent his only begotten son. No other God has sent their only begotten son. Jesus not only came here in the flesh, not only walked this earth, not only was tempted by the devil and did not have sin at all, he not only died for our sins on the cross, as if he sinned, crucified, beaten, in the tomb, but he has risen. No other God, no other religion has ever risen. So in that, death is defeated. There is eternal life in Jesus Christ. If you are tired of just keep repeating the same cycle, just keep going back into sin, just keep just being buried at that tomb, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is here to rise you up in the name of Jesus. He's here to renew your mind, renew your spirit, renew your heart. If that is you, if you're convicted by that, all you have to do, you don't have to do anything just special. You don't have to do anything loud, boastful. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm here. Don't wait for something, a great big encounter to happen. The time is right now. As Joe said, we are on borrowed time. The time is now to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I am here. Say, Lord, I'm here from your heart. I accept you as my Lord, personal Savior. Forgive me of every sin that I have ever committed, knowingly and unknowingly, and know that he will forgive whatever sin it is, no matter what it is. He will give you grace in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, if you know that, then you are saved. Just shout it out. Just shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just tell someone. You can tell us at Purpose Kingdom Network. Text someone, call someone that you have been saved, that you decided to follow Christ. You decided to walk with Christ and walk with God and just be into the things of God. Just surround yourself with like-minded people, people who not only serve God in word, but also in action and spirit and from the heart. Amen. I would like to bring Brother Rob on for announcement.
Yes, real quickly, I'll go ahead and do the announcements. This is a part of the Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where you're calling from, no matter where in the world you are, we thank you so much for supporting us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to contact us via email, you can contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We'd like to invite you on our Facebook page where you can just go ahead and like us and see our upcoming shows and advertisements where you can share with your friends and family members. We're broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Anytime you want to hear any past or previous shows, you can just simply type in a show name or the host name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we greatly appreciate that if you share with your friends and family member. God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for the Healing Hour, hosted by Reverend Arthur Burgess III. And once again, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour with the Healing Hour, hosted by Reverend Arthur Burgess III. With many of our listeners, we hope that you continue to listen to us, even though we're experiencing trouble, with our 319-527-6091 number, where our callers are getting the message that they will be charged 1 cent a minute. If you truly will be charged 1 cent a minute, we don't know if you will be charged 1 cent a minute, but just for, you know, in case you are discouraged about that simple message, we do have an option for you to download at either the Google Play or the Apple Store or the Apple Play or however that is, that you can download the app called Talkatone, which is a free internet phone service, and you will not be charged anything for downloading that service and using it. And also, downloading the app is free of charge. Okay, and with that being said, I'm going to turn the show back over to the Sister Dominique and her host, her guest host. Thank you so much for coming in on Purpose Kingdom once again. All right, Dominique, the show's back over your hands.
Thank you. And if no one knows Brother Robert Hudson, Pop Hudson, that's my dad. He's done a wonderful job as an engineer. Hello, Dad. amen. Amen, amen. So, as I said, the show for tonight is the battleground. The battleground is in the mind. And Joe, before we end, like, do you want to summarize what we discussed? We have about like 10 more minutes. Do you have anything else to add? Like, just
about the battleground?
Yes, like some closing remarks.
I would say, for one, you should pray. You should pray every single day for your mind to be covered with the blood of Jesus. And anything that sounds negative or anything that doesn't sound good or correct to you, it's okay to rebuke. You should rebuke and respond to it, because the enemy will speak, but he will not use his voice. He will use yours. So it sounds normal, but in reality it's not normal. But if it doesn't sound good or even correct to your ears and you hear it, you have the right to rebuke and speak back to it. Because if you allow them to keep talking to you and allow this war to keep going on, and you're sitting there, what you're telling the devil and his people is, I control you. But if you respond to them, when they tell you to do X, Y, and Z, you tell them, no, this is not the way of God. Eventually they'll get tired, and then they'll come back again to test you to see if you're weak in this area. But you got to show them every single time that you don't control me, I control me. So, yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. I just wanted to just to close with one. I'm taken back to Genesis chapter 3 when it says that, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. That right there, the lest part, is like a prevention from a risk or something that is dangerous. So when you hear like that, that is telling me that God is always, as we mentioned, that God is always around, and it's so many things, like God is broadcasting himself everywhere, but we have to be willing to really receive his word. And as Joe said, once you seek him, you will find him. So we have to be willing and ready to seek him and to find him. So when you hear, like, God is going to, he'll warn you. These things, like, just as the devil is coming at you, God is also sending his angels all around you. You know what I mean? He's sending your angels around you. And not only is that, he's having warning signs. Like, it's going to be lest you die. And that's that. When you hear that, that may be your mom warning you, your friend, like, girl, you better not go. No, girl. Like, you know, you have those great friends that's telling you, no, you shouldn't do that. You have your mom, your parents, anybody that's telling you, giving you a warning sign, and God is speaking to you through them. Amen. God is always going to give you a warning. So that right there just stood out to me. And in that verse that in 2 Corinthians, the verse that JoJo mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, when let me go back to it. It's about the devices of the devil, so I can quote it correctly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2:11, and it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So there it goes. Like, that is a, like, don't let the devil take advantage of you. It is risk ahead. We know his devices. So it's always a warning ahead before the devil does these things. God is letting us know, warning. Red lights, whatever it is, it's flashing right before our eyes, and God is preventing us from doing it. yes, he's always there to pick us up, but I don't know about y'all. Like, I don't want to keep, like, digging, like, just going and digging my own grave, walking into my own grave, walking into my own, like, death pool, and then just begging God to pull me up and getting mad if he don't do it when I want him to because I did my own thing, you know? Amen. So it's always a warning. He's always giving a warning. So let's open our eyes to the warnings that God has given us. And as I said, just continue to be around those like-minded people. And even if you have someone that you're praying for, I'm always praying for my nieces and my nephews who don't intimately know God, but only know God through their aunts, through their grandma, grandfather. I'm always praying that it's voices of their friends, just voices of their friends, like just saying the word of God around them until they get it, you know? Just people, just mentors that they pay attention to, just speaking the word of God to them little by little and just letting that word of God seep into their mind because they may not hear it directly from us. Amen? So as we're closing up, I just want to thank you, Joe, so much for joining us. I just want to say how proud I am of you. You'll do great in school. This is your first semester, first year. God has great things for you, and I just want you to continue to just keep renewing your mind, renewing your spirit. Mm-hmm. It's so many things. You're in Atlanta. It's just so many. You're in a foreign land when it comes to God. It's so many things happening in Atlanta, every other city, but mainly Atlanta that is contrary to the word of God. And I just want you to keep your mind, your eyes open as you are a servant of God, as God has such great things to you, and know that the devices of the enemy, of the devil, it is very deceitful. He's very cunning. Just keep your eyes open and just keep them open. Keep them open. That's all I can say. And I think I had one more thing to close with. I think, right. So this is what I wanted to, another thing that I had to say about just keeping an eye, keeping a watch and just being prayerful because these things, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. So, and these things are happening spiritually. So when we're praying, as Joe said, just be in prayer. So let us continue to be in prayer as we're saying, like reciting Psalm 91 before you go to bed is a lovely prayer to recite. And that's what the dwelling place is all about, is the foundation is on Psalm 91:1. And just asking God to send his angels around to protect you, that you will not dash your foot on any type of stone, that nothing will come near you or harm you. So there's a lot of us, as I said, we're the sheep, and God is our shepherd. And in the story of David, when David killed the bear before the bear could attack his sheep, that is God. That's a metaphor for God. That is, we are the sheep, and there's so many bears that are around trying to attack us, and God has already devoured them. Amen? God devoured them. And we don't even know. We're just walking and just doing what God said to do. We don't know. We're unaware of these spiritual attacks or even maybe these physical things where someone is coming for you. And I know this in real life, that someone tried to set someone up, but they came to, like, this happened in real life, and they knew that God protected them. Amen? So God is doing this, and we are unaware. We are the sheep unaware that we're about to be devoured or attacked, but God comes in the nick of time. He comes just like that, and we don't even know that we've been protected, that grace we have is more and more grace that's happening to us that we don't even know about. Amen? So with that, protect your mind. Be embedded in the things of Christ. Do the things of Christ. If you fall, know that there's no sin that God cannot forgive. Know that you can repent over and over, but while you have the chance, do right. Amen. Stay in the word of God. So I just want to thank everyone for joining myself and Joe tonight. So until next time, we'll see you in the next couple of weeks, Wednesday, 9 p.m. Be there. Thank you.
Good night. Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.